Well, the US general election takes place in November this year, and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, as you would have heard in the news, has suspended his 2024 presidential bid. He's now endorsing former President Donald Trump and bringing to an end his campaign that many had suggested would have been Ron DeSantis as the most viable Republican alternative. Now, this was the announcement that he made, and it's just 2 days, I will say, before what is seen as being a very pivotal race, which is the New Hampshire primaries. Have a listen to Ron DeSantis here.
Now, following our second place finish in Iowa, we've prayed and deliberated on the way forward. If there was anything I could do to produce a favorable outcome, more campaign stops, more interviews, I would do it. But I can't ask our supporters to volunteer their time and donate their resources if we don't have a clear path to victory. Accordingly, I am today suspending my campaign. I'm proud to have delivered on 100% of my promises, and I will not stop now. It's clear to me that a majority of Republican primary voters want to give Donald Trump another chance. They watch his presidency get stymied by relentless resistance, and they see Democrats using lawfare this day to attack him. Well, I've had disagreements with Donald Trump, such as on the coronavirus pandemic and his elevation of Anthony Fauci. Trump is superior to the current incumbent, Joe Biden. That is clear. I signed a pledge to support the Republican nominee, and I will honor that pledge. He has my endorsement because we can't go back to the old Republican guard of yesteryear, a repackaged form of warmed-over corporatism that Nikki Haley represents. The days of putting Americans last, of kowtowing to large corporations, of caving to woke ideology are over. I thank all of our passionate supporters who have stood by us through it all.
And with that, Donald Trump's 2024 nomination to lead the Republican Party and take on President Biden at the polls later this year becomes all but inevitable. Joining me now is friend of afternoons, TJ O'Hara. He's an author, strategic consultant, and past independent US presidential candidate. How are you, TJ? Welcome back.
I'm doing fine, Sophie. It's nice to be back.
Did you see this coming? We sort of had an inkling that maybe the wheels were falling off his campaign strategy, but did you expect that Ron DeSantis would bow out so soon?
I didn't think that he would bow out before New Hampshire. I thought if he suffered an embarrassing defeat in South Carolina, he would drop out after that. But this was a few weeks earlier than I would have anticipated.
What does it mean for Nikki Haley? She's a moderate, the former UN ambassador. Now she's the last long shot challenger for the Republican nomination. We know that a majority of DeSantis' supporters appear to be more likely to switch their allegiance to Trump than to Haley. And I mentioned, as you did, the New Hampshire primaries, about two thirds of Ron DeSantis' backers now say that they would look to Trump as their choice.
Well, I think that's accurate. First of all, I think most of Governor DeSantis' backers will switch to President Trump. And of course, DeSantis himself endorsed Trump today. But in New Hampshire, it won't have a tremendous impact. Governor DeSantis was polling, I think, at about 5.2% starting this morning. President Trump already has 49.8% because he got the endorsement of Vivek Ramaswamy earlier, just the day after the Iowa caucuses. And Vivek actually had a greater presence in New Hampshire than DeSantis did. So the margin will spread a little bit. Governor Haley was closing in. She was on the rise, but I think she's had a number of setbacks. When Vivek endorsed Trump, that certainly was a setback. This is a bigger setback just from a name recognition standpoint. Senator Ted Cruz, who was no friend of the former president's in the prior election, certainly his endorsement had an impact. Even more so, I think the most damaging thing that happened to her this week is that Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina, which is Governor Haley's home state, he endorsed Trump yesterday. So I think the odds are against her. It's just building, and at this point, unfortunately, it's a matter of time. I would have personally liked to have seen the two of them debate or at least have an opportunity to compete against each other. But at this point, it's almost a foregone conclusion.
TJ, Trump's been balancing his campaigning with various legal battles. We know he appeared just last week in a Manhattan court. This is the case with writer E. Jean Carroll and the defamation trial against him, and the jury is now set to determine how much in damages that he will have to pay. And he's also still facing four criminal prosecutions. Of course, he continues to plead not guilty in all of these cases, and it would appear his base is not fazed at all by anything that is going on. You know, if anything, they appear to be even more galvanized.
I think that's very accurate, Sophie. What's happened is the nature of the lawsuits against him or the criminal charges against him are almost one of a kind. And that's almost martyred him. He's been pursued in what at least has a semblance or is in the shadow of a partisan attack. It's not to say that he doesn't deserve some of them. I particularly think the federal suit down in Florida is a substantive one, and that's the one involving documents. The other one that would have been more critical than it's probably going to be in the eyes of the public would be the one in Georgia. And unfortunately, in that one, the individual, I don't know if you followed that or heard about what's transpiring with that, but the district attorney that brought those charges and actually campaigned on, quote unquote, getting Trump, as did the attorney general of New York. But that district attorney has recently been under fire herself because apparently she paid over $600,000 to somebody who became a paramour of hers. He filed for divorce of his wife the day after she gave him the job as the special prosecutor.
Right.
He doesn't really have the background. They've traveled to some exotic locations together since. So there's a little tainting in that case as well. And all of that built because of the uniqueness of the charges and the potential corruption involved in bringing them, or at least the partisan element of bringing them, I think they've almost martyred him.
And when it comes to what happens next, I'm sure that deals and conversations are already being done when it comes to Donald Trump's potential running mate. It's unlikely he would share the ticket with Ron DeSantis. There's certainly some bad blood there, or with Nikki Haley. They've both ruled out that she would be his VP. So who's left? Are we looking at the former candidate you mentioned earlier, Vivek Ramaswamy?
Well, you know, I think there are a number of them. I would rule out Nikki Haley. I wouldn't rule out Ron DeSantis because he's polling the highest relative to second choice. And if the former president is anything, he's adept at understanding what benefits him personally. So there's a possibility that he could consider Ron DeSantis. I think there are others. I think Tim Scott, the senator who just endorsed him, helps him from a standpoint. If Republicans played identity politics like the Democrats do, Tim Scott could be a great connection for black voters.
Yeah.
And he has a tremendous backstory. Elise Stefanik would be a great addition relative to female voters, which is one of Trump's weaknesses. She's a representative out of New York District 21, one of the few Republicans who can win in New York, and she's been a staunch supporter of the former president. You've got Governor Kristi Noem from South Dakota. Again, women's vote. The reason I bring her up, she ran a series of television ads throughout the summer. No particular reason other than trying to, quote unquote, attract people to South Dakota.
Yeah.
But she was very front and center in presenting those ads on behalf of her state. So she's got name recognition. Vivek Ramaswamy, very, very bright. He would be tremendous in a debate. He would attract youth voters, but he may be a little too edgy for the majority. But, you know, no one can predict what Donald Trump will do.
Well, nobody can predict anything at the moment, TJ, because the rest of the world, I mean, I think it's important that Australians are invested in some, you know, way, shape or form in how this unfolds and in who is in the White House come November. There's no suggestion whatsoever that he won't be going up against Joe Biden. And that leaves, I think, many people around the world scratching their heads a little. And the Democrats aren't going to be changing their position anytime soon.
Well, I think certainly President Biden is the incumbent, so he's clearly the odds-on favorite. If the party was to switch, or if he was to make a decision not to run, which has happened in the past, you have people like the Vice President, Kamala Harris. You've got Governor Gavin Newsom, who desperately would like to be president. You've got people like that willing to step up. I think the interesting game will be played at that next level down. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who has tremendous name recognition and was an environmental attorney, he was running as a Democrat, was being given nothing but difficulty by the party, so he's now running as an independent.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Cornel West, again, in the United States, he has more name recognition, not a lot. He's a little edgy. He's a former professor at Princeton and former professor at Harvard, although he resigned from Harvard, saying the school had an, quote, intellectual and spiritual bankruptcy of deep debts, unquote. And Harvard's gone on to prove that this year. Mm-hmm. He's also a registered Democratic Socialist and activist. So he'll attract a far-left element. Dr. Jill Stein is going to run again. She's a perennial Green Party candidate, and she tends to pull people who are single-issue, environmentally oriented. So that'll be interesting. And then No Labels, I think, will now, if it becomes, I know for a fact, if it becomes President Biden versus former President Trump, they will run a presidential ticket. And right now it looks like it'll be Joe Manchin, and then they will be looking for a Republican counterpart, so they'll be running a blended ticket. And it'll be interesting to see what impact that has from an electoral standpoint, if any.
Interesting is certainly the word, TJ. A very interesting 10 months ahead in the US. No doubt we will talk again as a wary world braces itself for the very real possibility of Donald Trump being back in the White House. Thanks for your time this afternoon.
Thank you, Sophie.